Let's put our hands together and say this to us, our Father, in the name of Jesus, we receive revelation that is found in the written word. As we study this afternoon, we receive clarity, your word taught in its simplicity and in its accuracy. We are edified, even as you're glorified in our midst and in our lives. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So, I want to start off a short exhortation. When I say short, I mean short exhortation. Just for the next couple of weeks, maybe two to three weeks. Amen. Let us stay a bit around who are you? Who are you? It's a question, but a very vital question. We want to deal with the believer's identity in the world. The believer's identity in the world. You know, it's going to be a fallout from a broader teaching we just concluded, the man, the message, and the mandate. So we're taking out a part of it to further just instruct our minds again on who we are. Do you understand me? Who is the believer? Who are you? Hallelujah. So just a part of that teaching, we're going to just take it out and then just build on it. Who are you? You know, I know those of us who have been around for a while know that I've taught us on this topic severally. Hallelujah. Who are you? Hallelujah. Matthew 28 from verses 18. Matthew 28, verse 18. It says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All power," that's what exousia, authority, "is given unto me in heaven and in the earth. He says, Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age." Amen. Hallelujah. So we said this will be Jesus closing the mark within the 40 days of teaching. Acts of Apostles chapter 1. You know, Luke made us see that Jesus taught them for 40 days of things pertaining the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Jesus taught 40 days of things pertaining the kingdom of God. So, very, very vital. Hallelujah. So, these will be instructions of Jesus within the 40 days. And something that mustn't be lost on you is on the fact that the instructions of Scripture. Because where Jesus taught from was from the Scriptures. Amen. Mustn't be lost on you. These are instructions of Scripture. In fact, as good disciples, they would also have to instruct, or they also have to write from Scriptures. Hallelujah. So you find that background in every writing that points back to Scriptures. So Genesis down to Malachi. That was what they had as Scriptures. I told you that when Jesus was walking the earth, God and man, the incarnation, he had the Bible. But they didn't call it Bible. It was called Scriptures. Amen. It was called the Law of Moses, the Prophet, and the Psalms. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. So, Matthew 1:1, gives us that background again of the Genesis. It says, "In the beginning of the generations of Jesus, he's called the Son of David, the Son of Abraham." Is that? It calls, when you hear the word, the book of the generations. Now that word generations there is that Greek word Genesis, making you see that what is writing about
He's writing about the life of Jesus, but he's saying he's writing it from the Genesis. Did you see that? Hallelujah. You find the background of the Genesis. So he calls the Genesis of Jesus. Did you see that? The Genesis of Jesus. So it won't be lost on you that the instructions you will have will be instructions from the Genesis. Hallelujah. In Mark chapter number 15, Mark 16, the same instruction, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Amen. In my name they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. See, they would take up serpent, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and the sick would recover. Again, Mark also gives us the same background. Amen. Gives us the same background. But take note of some words that would come back to is Jesus telling the disciples, I am with you. The Lord walking with them. It will be very germane in this series. God saying, I am with you. Hallelujah. Very germane. You'll get to see that. Why would God say, I am with you? Amen. Amen. And he didn't say, I am with you like a verb. He says it as a person that goes with you. When he uses the word I am there, is the word egoema. It means it's used for a person. It's not a sentence. It's not a verb. I am is a proper name. It's a name for God. So it won't be lost on you in Matthew and Mark. You find it there. In Mark you say, and the Lord walking with them. Isn't that? The Lord. And that's the same thing Jesus said in Matthew 28. Lo, I am is with you. Isn't that? I am there is a proper name. It's a name for God. When you get to John chapter 8, when Jesus told them, before Abraham, I am. This is that, before Abraham, I am. And they took up stones and whatever stoned him. They didn't take up stones because he's saying he's Abraham's senior. They dealt with that some few verses before that. Amen. When they asked him, are you up to 50? How can you say Abraham because the senior day? This is that? And I said, before Abraham, I am. And they picked up stones. Why? Because he said he is the I am of Abraham. You see that? He is the God of Abraham. Did you see? That was a major upset with the Pharisees. They had that as a major upset. Amen. In John, they said, how can you, who is man, say you are God? That was a major upset. And how did he say he was God when he used the word Ego Emma for himself? It's a name reserved for God. That is the Hebrew word Yahweh. That's the Hebrew word I am that I am. Yahweh. What am I going to read? The Hebrew word for God. So he says, before Abraham was, I am. So you'll find it again in the instructions. I am with you. I am with you is not be going, I'm coming with you, I'm right by your side. No, it's telling you God is with you. Properly. Did you see that? Hallelujah. All this will come out jamming as we get into our teachings today. Hallelujah. So that it won't be lost on you. Mark in Mark 1 opens up similarly the way Matthew opened up. In Mark 1:1, he says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He calls the Genesis. When he uses the word the beginning there, it's the word arche. Another shape for the word Genesis. So he calls the Genesis of Jesus. He calls it the beginning, the Genesis of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Did you see that? So that means Genesis is not Old Testament. No. Genesis is the gospel of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hold on, hold on, amen. Amen? It's the gospel of Jesus. Mark said the same thing. They were not writing out of mind. They knew what they were documenting. In fact, Mark went further to tell you how to read the events of Jesus within the four Gospels, or within the incarnation. He says, look at verse 2. The as it is written in the prophet, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. That is Malachi. Malachi 3:1 was talking about John. I send my messenger. And I said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord and make the path straight. What is he saying? That is Isaiah. What Mark is saying is, if you look at the events of Jesus in the synoptic, you will have to read backwards. Is that you have to read backwards into the Old Testament books to see it as scripture fulfilled. You see that? Amen. Remember when I was teaching a series that will continue either this weekend or next weekend? Okay, maybe next weekend. Not this weekend. Next weekend, we began asking ourselves the question, was Moses writing for Jesus to come and fulfill? Did you see that? Did you ask yourself that question? Right? Was Moses writing for Jesus to come and fulfill? We're going to find that out. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, you have to see that. So they write for you to see the event of the four Gospels as scripture fulfilled. That when you get to the four Gospels, you have to read backwards again. You have to go back again to Malachi, to Isaiah, down to Genesis, and see it as scripture fulfilled. Hallelujah. Look at Luke 24, from verses 47, okay, 46. And he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it behoves Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And here are witnesses of these things. Hallelujah. The same instructions, right? Are they the same instructions? Yes. The background of where? Genesis down to Malachi. Hallelujah. You find that in verse 44. Genesis down to Malachi. But something interesting that you must find in Luke is Luke 1. Luke gives you an audience. And that becomes very vital in our study. In Luke 1, let's see. From verses 1. It says, for as much as men have taken in hand to set in order a declaration of those things which are most shortly believed amongst us. So he gives a background for what is writing. He's telling you one. This background tells you what I'm writing is what is commonly believed amongst us. Right? Right? Do you see that? And then he places you so that you would know that he wasn't there when the events were happening. But he says, for as they deliver them to us, who is the they? Who are eyewitness? So that means his accounts were from the what? Were from the eyewitness account. Remember I taught us that the eyewitness is important in the gospel. We're going to see all that in the coming weeks. Hallelujah. Why it's important? Eyewitness is important. In fact, that is, eyewitness has the strongest, strong witness in their day. In order to have a strong witness of a matter, must have an eyewitness. Amen. So when he uses the word eyewitness, his audience already knows that this is a strong witness that he has. It's not empty. No. Not that I saw something. So no. It's an eyewitness. Do you see that? It's a woman. Eyewitness. Hallelujah. And ministers of the word. Amen. In Luke verse 3, say, it seems good to me, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write in thee order, most excellent Theophilus. So when he uses the word Theophilus there, he tells you who his audience is. He has a single audience, the audience of Theophilus. One, Theophilus is a Gentile. Did you see that? Okay, follow me. Theophilus is a Gentile, but yet what Luke has shown to us is that even though it is Gentile audience or Jewish audience, the gospel doesn't change its form. Hope you're following me.
Something you must never. So when he now says, listen, it's to a Gentile audience, and then Luke say, and Luke shows you that Jesus says, beginning at Jerusalem into all the nations. Did you see that? So that means he's telling you that is you are not excluded. The gospel is the same. Hallelujah. What we are following in John. John 20. John 20, verses 21. You see, and then said Jesus to them again, peace unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said these things, he breathed on them and said to them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remitted unto you, and whosoever ye retain, I retain. Now when he uses that word, whosoever, when he uses that word, he breathed on them. When you use the word breath on them, that's what emphasize. How you put air, pump air into an object, like a balloon. You put air into it. Right? So the word emphasize is used for how you put light into something. Hallelujah. How you put light into something. You know what? He breathed on them. So that word emphasize there is a figure of speech. Hallelujah. It is not saying Jesus went to them or they or all of them. No. It's a figure of speech. To show that he taught them. And in teaching them, life came into them. That is the way to see. So the word emphasize is a shorthand for the God born again. Amen. And the same word emphasize, you find it in Genesis 2:7. And God breathed into the nostril of man, and man became a living soul. Did you see that? Hallelujah. That is to say, the same way God gave life to man to function. Hallelujah. The same way Jesus gave them life. Glory to God. Hope you are following me. In the preaching of the gospel. You have to see that. And where will you find it again? You'll find it also in Ezekiel chapter 37. Hallelujah. The dry bones. And how did God say life will come into the dry bones? He said prophesy. Prophesy means to speak. Did you see that? To speak. It's not by you. It is speak. Amen. So man receives life by the teaching of God's word. So Romans 1:16 will not say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of God, of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. You see that? So that means the gospel is how God's power is communicated for a man to come back alive. Glory to God. Hope you're following me. Amen. Okay, something else. So, just like other disciples, like I said, other writers of the synoptics, John also gives you that background that hey, you will have to read through Genesis down to Malachi for you to see the event of the four Gospels. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He used the word in the beginning against our King. Hope you're seeing that. In the beginning, our King. Hallelujah. Get quickly back to... Okay, maybe you see that in the next section. Amen. So, it is the word archaic for you to go back again to Genesis. That in the Genesis, you find Jesus as God. As God. And let me warn us, as believers. Like I said to us, what I'm going to teach us is going to come out very general. When you talk about God's place. Now, let me warn us. Jesus is not a kind of God. Jesus is God. Jesus is not a look-alike God. No, Jesus is God. He's God in Genesis. In the coming years, we'll explore that story. Jesus was, we wrote the way John wrote it. John wrote it that Jesus was present in the Old Testament. How many of you? He said, look at verse 2. He said, the same was in the beginning with God. That was what he said. He said, the same was in the beginning as God. Hallelujah.
All things were created by him, and without him was anything made that is made. See, in him is light. And the light is the light of man. The light shines in the darkness, and darkness comprehends it not. See, there was a man who was sent to, from God, who was sent from God, didn't he say? Was sent to bear witness of the light, that all through him may believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. He said, this is the light. The light of every man that cometh into the world. Say, he was in the world. Did you see that? Did you see that? He was in the world. He didn't say he just showed up. You know, some people had that funny story. I don't know where they got it from. But that story just started up recently. Not even up to 100 years. When they say God needed someone to come down, and they talked to angels, no angels could come. Then all of a sudden, his son just came from his right hand. Oh Father, Father, we'll go for them. He just came from right hand. You don't know what it means. Amen. Glory to God. The first time Jesus was in the right hand of God is in the resurrection. So what is right hand? Right hand doesn't mean right side. Right hand means indwelling. Hope you're going to hear me. Glory to God. So you don't miss it. Amen. So Jesus now said, oh God, I will go. My blood. I will shed my blood. Okay, my son. Go. Hope you will not have that kind of issues anymore. When you hear my son go, you will say, oh, who is now the mother? Right? Right? So before the incarnation, was Jesus called the Son of God? Now let me catch people who have been around for teaching. Was Jesus called Son of God before the incarnation? No. Thank you. You know, everyone that person was scared. Okay, so why is he called Son of God? Because of responsibility in the incarnation. Thank you. Let's call Son of God. Amen. Glory to God. You need to understand that very well. So people now think now, Jesus wants to come for rapture, or God wants to blow trumpet. Just now say, oh God, for my blood. They see one bad guy. I said, no more wherewhere. I need to get born again. Don't blow it. Have you not heard those deeds? That somebody said, God was very angry with the world. And I have to blow it now. Jesus now came now. And Lord that and said, look at my blood. See my blood, see my blood. And Jesus was hypnotizing God. See my blood. For my sake, for my blood. For my blood, Lord. God, for my blood. God now stand down and say, I'm giving them one last chance. No, come on. Don't say that. Don't do that. Hallelujah. That is just nonsense. Amen. You know, don't get yourself into places. I've warned us. Amen. You say, a new child was born. When you put the child's palm, you say, Jesus is coming soon. And the child has closed the palm and the child died. Did you see? Don't get into nonsense. The next thing you will hear is a little child was born. And you don't put his hand. You now see Allah will, Allah is coming. The child too died. Let's see the child now. Stop being nonsense. Hope you are hearing me. Yeah? So God wants to send somebody, will send a little child. You just show up and die off. Give yourself brain. Hallelujah. Don't use those stupid places. Someone said Mary appeared in bathroom. Didn't take up to 1 month. Allah appeared in gutter. What is wrong with you guys? Even as far back as when that happened, I wasn't moved. I didn't go there. I didn't believe it. Very critical young guy like me. Amen. I remember that period there. My mother was so, we got to have money wishes. Let me bring her out now. She's my mother, don't worry. We'll sort it out at home. Let me bring her out. When I'm having morning devotion, I was surprised. I just opened my eyes. How kind of morning devotion is this? The next morning, so she was not leading morning devotion. Those morning devotion that used to be long. Normally, if it is long, we need her. Sometimes she will sleep off. The only time we wake up is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah? So that day, she was not praying.
prayers go through this afternoon.
Father, thank God, I just say, oh Lord, thank you for sending your mother.
To come and tell us that the last days is here. Kind of nonsense is this one now. Mommy, if you don't want to, if you don't want me to marry, I will marry first.
Yeah, just stop all those nonsense. See, the day I met somebody when I went to do evangelism, that was where, that was the day, one of my classmates, that was the day I stopped using that as a parameter for evangelism. I said, see, Jesus is coming soon.
Very young lady, she's not surprised. That's the same Jesus for me not to come. She told me, tell Jesus for me not to come. I said, why? He said, tell him that he did not come when my mother had me in her womb. My mother gave birth. I mean, married and gave birth. He did not come. He says, now my dad, I mean, there's a three. I'm already seeing some guy that I like it. Jesus now want to come. Tell Jesus to wait. Let me get married. I'll give it to Jesus. See, I got angry. But you know, when I got back to my seat, see what I do is, when I'm in school, when I was in secondary school, during break time, if we don't have Christian fellowship meeting, I'm preaching. I'm preaching to my classmates, I'm preaching to friends, and you've just seen me with my Bible. Once it's break time, my Bible out of my bag, I do that thing. I go back to my seat. This is it. Within 5 minutes, I go back to my seat, and I begin to think about it. It was critical. Yeah, very critical. But you know, as a young Pentecostal guy, I was just dribble out with you. But it was ringing somewhere. Amen. So I didn't use that anymore for evangelism. Don't worry, God. Leave. You begin to answer questions you don't have the answer. Over here. Don't go and say, Jesus is coming. Don't want to say rapture is happening soon. Don't say Jesus is coming soon, because he's coming soon. Hallelujah. Jesus is coming soon. But don't go and say rapture is happening soon. That is not actually. Amen. Jesus didn't tell you when you go preach that rapture is happening soon. Did he say that? There are people that people have rapture that one day people disappear from the world. If they disappear to me. Amen. But never to worry. Hallelujah. Never to worry. Jesus is coming soon. But your essence, the essence of your Jesus is coming soon here doesn't mean he left you. Glory to God. So let's even start demystifying it. Did Jesus leave? He didn't leave. Is Jesus alive to today? Yes. Is it alive in the earth to today? Yes. He didn't leave the earth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we have teachings on that. So you can lay hold on those teachings. Hallelujah. But something very right, what he sent you to go and preach is what? The gospel. That he is alive. That it's living in the earth. It's living in the believers. That's what he wants you to preach. Eternal life. Eternal life is God living in us. Hallelujah. Hope you're hearing me. Hope you're hearing me. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, the way they wrote the synoptic is that, like I said, they wrote it as scriptures fulfilled in the person of Christ. Hallelujah. No apostle, listen to me, look up here. No apostle, no writer of scripture, no believer until recently ever thought that one day we'll just be standing and some people will disappear. Nobody ever thought like that. And nobody had that mindset that one day God will just be standing and Jesus will show up in the cloud and some people will just disappear to him.
before they have that. Hallelujah. Before they have that kind of message. Because Jerusalem even began to bring such kind of doctrine into the church. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. So when they say he's coming, you have to understand what it means. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
But everybody believes that in the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. Hallelujah. The dead in Christ will rise up. If the dead in Christ looks right, then your faith is easier.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Amen.
So, sir, when are we going to get here? The next 50 years. Let's look at what we have for today. Hallelujah. Amen. So, the explanation of the event from the Genesis shows that the only way, when they explain Jesus of Genesis, tells you that the only way through which you can know about God will be via systematic study of scripture. They are writing about Jesus as the Son of God, and they are writing from the Genesis. It was not story, it was not gist. See, be careful of Jesus' story. How about you hearing me? Jesus' story book, be careful of it. Be careful of all those Jesus things. I'm not telling you it's wrong, but that is not Bible explained. That is just story. Apart from the disciples, in the days of the apostles, they had people that had Jesus' gift. But it was not called, they had the gift, but it was not called scriptures. They had their story. They had his miracles. But there's a way Jesus' story must be told as scripture for people. We want to see other things in some of our studies that we do. Hallelujah. How to read those events, those stories. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Amen. So the only way through which God can be known is via systematic study of the scriptures from the Genesis. Hallelujah. And Jesus, if you look at John 5, will tell you that systematic study of scriptures from the Genesis will point to him, will testify of him. John 5:39. He says, you search the scriptures. Scriptures there is Genesis to Malachi. Did you see that? He tells them that when you will search, it's a diligent study. He tells them, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But these are they, the scriptures, that what are they? Which testify of me. I don't think the scriptures testify of a person. So systematic study of scriptures testify of Christ. Hallelujah. Look at John 5:46. Look at verse 46. I'll start with verse 45. They do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses in whom you trust. Did you see that? He said Moses in whom you trust. So what he's saying is, he's not trying to paint Moses as black hair or say Moses is the accuser of brethren. No. He's saying, I'm not writing any other... What Jesus is saying is that he's not going to write any accusation for unbelief further. Hallelujah. He said, because there's already an accusation for unbelief, which is in Moses. So when you hear Moses, is it Moses as a person or Genesis down to Deuteronomy? Listen again. When you hear Moses here, there's one who accuses you, Moses in whom you trust. So, now that Moses there, is it Moses as a person or Moses as Genesis to Deuteronomy? To Deuteronomy, yes. Because what do you call scriptures? Moses, the prophet, and the psalmist. That's how scriptures are divided. Did you get it? So he's saying there's no more accusation, that he's not going to accuse you. So because there's already accusation for unbelief in Genesis down to Deuteronomy. That's what he's saying. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 46. He then says, for had they believed Moses? Is it Moses as a person or his words? Because these people is writing to didn't know Moses as a person. So he's referring to Genesis down to Deuteronomy. So have they believed Moses? Genesis to Deuteronomy. Ye would have believed me. For he wrote of me. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, but if you believe not his writing, how would you believe my words? So he's telling you that when you read Moses together, it will point to him. Hallelujah. It will point to him. Hallelujah. It will point you to the Messiah. So when you read scriptures together, it will point you to the Messiah. In John 4, here is Jesus before a Samaritan. A Samaritan is, they were called like a mixed multitude. They only believed in Moses. Every other prophet after Moses, they don't believe in him. Just believe in Moses. Hallelujah. Those are the Samaritans. Amen. So the Jews really don't want to mingle with the Samaritans. The same way the Samaritans are the Jews. Because the Jews believe the Samaritans are not part of the Abrahamic blood. Very funny. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. But the Samaritans only have Genesis down to Deuteronomy. But here's what the Samaritan woman said to Jesus in John 4. Verse 25. He said, the woman said unto him, after Jesus was done talking, he said, the woman said to him, I know that the Messiah cometh, the Messiah's cometh, which is called Christos. Did you see that? Which is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Did you see that? So, how did she know that the Messiah is coming? Well, only what she has is Genesis down to Deuteronomy. Because Jesus had said, when if you believe in Moses, you believe me, because he wrote of me. That is when you read Moses together, it will point to Christ. How much more when you read Genesis to Malachi, it will point to Christ. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3.
1 Corinthians 15 verse 3. Are you there? Oh. Okay. It says, if I deliver to you, first of all, that which also I received, how Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. That is what katatas kapha.
How Christ died for our sins. Now, when you get to Genesis down to Malachi, you don't find any place where it's written Christ died for our sins. In fact, you will leave our sins out of it. Our sins is spirit interpretation. Let's leave that out. But you will not see any place where you say Christ died or Jesus died. No, you find it. Hallelujah. So what is Moses? I mean, what is Paul writing here? He said he was buried and he rose from the dead the third day according to the scripture. Use that katatas grapha. Now when you use that word katatas grapha, it means the words written together have an arrival point in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Hallelujah. So when you read scriptures together, it has an arrival point. The death, the burial, and the resurrection.
Hallelujah. Hope you understand that. Amen. So the use of the word katatas grapha, it tells you when you read them together, this is what it will conclude on. Hallelujah. And in the coming days, I believe when we begin to read scriptures together, we'll all have the same arrival point too, like the apostles. You see? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that means not reading scriptures together will give you a wrong arrival point. It will give you a wrong perception about God. A wrong perception around God.
And when you have a wrong perception about God, you have a wrong perception about yourself. You will have a wrong perception about you. Okay, yeah. Amen.
So when you read scriptures together, you will have a wrong conclusion. A wrong perception about God, which is not what God wants. Hallelujah. We have examples. Matthew 22. These are the Pharisees. Oh, the Sadducees. Verses 23. It came to pass, the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection. So, the Sadducees is a denomination.
You see how denomination started?
they started with the denomination of the scribes. So they had the Pharisees and they had the Sadducees. So the Sadducees believe there's no resurrection.
Are you following me? The Sadducees believe there's no resurrection. So you see, when people come and say, I beg you, die now, die. You know, some people are very stupid. I've heard someone say that all die now, die. Once you die, you don't go. All die now, die.
Very stupid, there's no resurrection. They believe.
So, pause. Where were they reading from? Where were they reading from? Moses. So that means, if they believe there was no resurrection, does that not show you that Moses spoke about the resurrection from the dead? I told us something in one of our previous teachings, which is on pneumaticus. I told us that a major theme in scripture is what? Who can remember that? Life from the dead. I said it, right? It's a major theme in scripture. Life from the dead. The major theme in scripture. Never miss that. Amen. So these guys came and said, no, there's no life from the dead. Means that there's no resurrection from the dead. Amen. Jesus rising from the dead is a proof that there's resurrection from the dead. Hallelujah. But look at what they came. They said, now they asked Jesus a question. If a man dies and have no child, and his brother shall marry his wife, and raise up a seed unto his brother, and they were with us seven brethren. He said, the first married a wife and died, he had no child, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise, the second, the third, up to the seventh, they had no child. That's it. In the last day. At last, the woman died also. Woman too now died. No, she should have lived. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven, if they all got married to her? So whose wife shall she be? You see the kind of stupid question. They should be saying there's resurrection. Now answer this one. Say their head, we don't catch them. And that was a very stupid question. You see, not reading your Bible systematically will make you sound stupid. Amen. Look at what Jesus said. Jesus said, you do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. You see that? For in the resurrection, they neither marry, nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. Did you see that? But I'm talking resurrection from the dead. Have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob? God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Hallelujah. So he dealt with that today. That you can't say there's no resurrection. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. But look at what he said to them in verse 29. He said, you err. That is, to err, there's the word plan. Is the word in the Greek, plan out, to be misled, to walk in error. He said, you're walking in error because you know not the scriptures. Hallelujah. You know not the scripture means they didn't read it well. Hallelujah. What are you following me? You know not the scriptures. And it says, not the power of God. So that means if you don't know the scriptures, if you don't read scriptures well, you won't know the power of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Showing you that scriptures is theology. If you don't read scriptures, well, you don't know the power of God. Scriptures is theology. And lack of diligent study of scriptures from the Genesis will always bet error to end. You always bet error. If you go back again to chapter 19, Jesus was with the Pharisees. And they came to ask him, shall a man put away his wife for any cause? Did you see that? And they wanted to catch Jesus. And Jesus answered and said to them, Have you not read? Say, he that made them at the beginning, Genesis. So that means he said before, when they are asking questions for was from Deuteronomy.
He said, no, go back to Genesis. You will see that in Genesis, when God made them male and female, that was hitting hard on the culture of their day. Amen. In the culture of their day. He said, he made them male and female. Hallelujah. So he referred them back to Genesis. He that made them at the beginning made them male and female. Genesis 1:27. Genesis 5 verses 2. Made them male and female. Can we also add Genesis 2 from verses 15? Can we add that? When Adam had the vision and he saw reed. And I told you, reed there doesn't literally mean your reed. Because if you told Adam that God took away your reed by your side, you say no. Some people say, God is the best surgeon. He did surgery for Adam. I took the reed and formed the woman, the best surgeon. No. That was not what God did. That was a vision. Adam saw a vision and he saw a reed. Reed is used for, look at the way that word reed is used all through by Moses. Reed is used for the site of the temple. Site of the temple. Open another way. Used for the temple. So what Adam saw in the vision was God's temple. Come here, everybody. What's God's temple? What is God's temple? Is that heaven and earth, Genesis 1:1? Yes. Okay, follow me. Is that Genesis 1:1? Yes. So what do you have in the temple? He found male and female. So when he walked, what did he do? God brought in the woman, he did the miracle, and he said, this is the bone of my bone. The bone of my bone is not saying, no. He said, we are one in God's temple. Hallelujah. So when they came to him and said, put away your wife, that is the church. He says, no. From the beginning, you have male and female together. Okay, hope you are following me. Male and female together. See, have you not read? So he's telling them, before you get to Deuteronomy, you should have seen Genesis. Then I asked him a question in verse 7. Say, why then? Then Moses said you should give her a bill of divorcement. A bill of divorcement, now take note, in their world, when a woman, listen, look up here, a woman was treated like a whore. Amen. Women were treated as second class, as nobody. That was what they had in their world. And that was why he said, when Jesus answered them and said, from the beginning it was not so, that was going into the core of their culture. Women were thrown out. Amen. Just in some few nations that they had women with authority, like Egypt and part of the Assyrians. Amen. When they worship women. Oh, we're not going through that today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But something you would find here is the fact that the man said, okay, a bill of divorcement was what Moses now gave to them to give to a woman. Why? Because in their world, if you divorce your wife, the woman will be killed. In fact, it's not like even divorce. When you are tired of her, it's very simple. When you are tired of the woman, you just throw her away. You beat her well and throw her away. She can be killed. Some cultures will kill her. I don't want to have anything to do with her anymore. That was their culture. So women were treated as toys, sex toys. A man can gather like 30 wives, kill 19, leave the remaining. And you say he's a strong man. That was their culture. So the woman, a man is done with the woman there. I beg you. The woman is dead. So the woman will not be praying for her life. The woman will have to literally beg the man. So many are fine in their culture, when you no longer like the woman anymore, she becomes your slave so that you don't kill her. Do you see that? She becomes your slave. Present in their world. Present in their culture. Amen. But when Jesus said, made them male and female, he's telling you what? Equal. Right? They are equal. though God puts control, but they are equal. Get that teaching of patriarchal feminism, where is God?
Hallelujah. But something else there is Moses seeing that was the culture of their world. Right? Moses saw that was the culture of their world. What did he do? He now said, you know what? Yeah? Rather than kill the woman or turn her to slave, give her a bill of divorcement.
Do you see that? So that she can be free for him. Is that love? Yeah, can that be love? That is love. You see death, you see bill. You collect bill with two hands. Say, please give me bill. They were saying, I'm going to start my life elsewhere. That was what Moses did. And that was the love of God. Permissible, yeah, very permissible. Or permissive, but not God's perfect will. Amen. We're looking at what that says. Who are you? And I'm getting into the revelation of God. Amen.
Come on here. So it's permissive. Hallelujah. Permissive. God allows it.
Why? Because where will you find your perfect, the perfect will of God will be in Christ. Did you see that? So all those things is to be there before. At that point, that was God. You know, you can't just go and tell them, no, both of you are one. You plus you that is Moses that is talking, you are dead. How we know that? People that can't stone to kill Moses.
They can't stone to kill Moses. So, you know, let's take it gradually. Amen. From there, if you steal somebody's thing, let me use the smallest one, biro. You took somebody's biro. And then people go to bank and carry biro. Let me just feel, let me feel. And you feel and take it home. In their world, if you do that, you will be killed. They say, ah, but biro. Yeah. They will kill you.
So what did Moses do? Moses kept it down. So rather than kill the person, what if the person used that is someone biro from you, to buy you 30 biro? You say, oh, makes sense. So I will have plenty biro, yeah. Is that not love of God? Somebody will kill the guy, he will buy you 30 biro. That is love of God. So if you see what you now call the law of Moses, people say, Moses is law, he killed. That is love, who? Hope you are seeing that. That is what love.
The Moses is full of laws.
We leave Moses. Leave Moses, we'll go back. If we leave Moses. If we leave Moses. You want to show us strong here? You and somebody else will fight. You not fight as one separate, they will leave you. Once one person die, both of you die. No one will be afraid of the thing. Let me go for that. Let me just die. That's what person died. Amen. What happened? That's why I said, when yet the law, an eye for an eye, it was actually an eye for death. You wouldn't have to know. An eye for an eye means, I took your thing, I returned it back. That's an eye for an eye. For formally, you get all these things, an eye for death. You move it steps down. Did you see that?
That will be love. That will be love. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
So yeah, they now asked Moses, then why did Moses, they now asked Jesus, why did Moses then give a law, a bill of divorce and telling you can put away your wife? Just to say from the beginning it was not so. Then look, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, stop. They were not Moses' audience. Right? They were not there. But Jesus united them with Moses' audience. See, Moses did that because of, and I've explained their culture. Their culture is hardness of heart. This is that. They say Moses did that because of the hardness of your heart. Hardness of your heart is unbelief, wickedness. Where would you find that? Numbers. So he say, before you get to read why Moses gave them a bit of divorcement, in Deuteronomy, go back to Numbers. Numbers is called the 40 years of provocation. Numbers is called hardness of heart. Go back to Numbers. Because before Deuteronomy, there is Numbers. And before Numbers, there is God's purpose in Genesis.
you must have to read them together.
Don't jump to Deuteronomy without looking at Numbers. Don't get to Numbers without seeing what is God's perfect plan in Genesis and Exodus. Hope you're following me. So I wouldn't run to Matthew when I've not read Genesis down to Malachi. That's what he's telling you. Read them together. Hope you're following me.
Hope you're following me. Read everything together.
Glory to God. Read everything together. Before you get to 1 Kings, or before you get to Joshua, have you read Genesis to Deuteronomy? Then you see Joshua. Or just the Bible says Joshua the son of Nun. You say Nun, how? Where is Nun? Do you see that? You have to read from the Genesis. Systematic study. That is how you know God. Amen. Say God, have everyone said God is one. It's one mean guy.
It's because we skip Genesis. If we skip Genesis, you wouldn't see that God is known in relationship with man. God loves relationship with man. He values it. It's not a mean guy. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hope you're following me. One day, Jacob was somewhere and God visited him. And Jacob wrestled with God. God wasn't a mean guy. God visited Abraham. He came to meet Abraham and God sat down with Abraham and ate. He said, God is mean. How? God was not talking and then Sarah was laughing inside the room. Amen. Glory to God. I was laughing inside the room. So God is not one mean guy. You know what I mean? Why is she laughing? Tell her for laughing. She will die tonight. No, God is not that. So you know what? By this time next, by this time, in the order of things, she will be with the child. It's simple. Amen. This is Stella for laughing. That's why I say, men who hear about stories will laugh with her. Did you see that? This guy. But the God, anything God wants is what he does. Are you sure? When the love issue happened in Sodom, look at how God works. He came to meet Abraham and he began to dialogue. He said, no, God only knows what is in his mind. God is not like some people. So you know some people do what is in their mind, even if you beg them. If that is in their mind, then you see. But God is not like that. Amen. Okay, what do you mean? Amen. You know, they negotiated. You see, no. Abraham looked at it. Mm-hmm. Ten. But you're not up to 10. They were up to 10. So then we wouldn't have any spirit. Or God would just save those 10. Glory to God. Glory to God. I didn't say God destroys them. You see whether God destroys them or not. Don't read the revelation of God. That we don't get there. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. So it's very vital. We read scriptures well. Hope you're following me. You need to read scriptures well from the Genesis. Okay. I'm just putting some things in order for us as we get into study. Look at Matthew 16. Okay, if you read Matthew 12:2, you will see that also. Matthew 12:2-3, they didn't read well. They didn't read well. So you'll find those gaps in their knowledge. Amen. Amen. We've looked at Matthew 12 before. Let's rush to Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verses 6. Based on that, Jesus will now warn them to be careful. He warned them. Matthew 16, are you there? Verses 6. It says, take heed and beware of the leaving of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Verse 12. And the unassailed, how he bade them not to beware of the living of bread, but of the teaching, doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Did you see that? Why would they beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees? Because they are, it's not a systematic study. Hallelujah. I know lack of systematic study, you can't know God in it. God is only known in a systematic study of scriptures. Let's quickly go to verses 13. Let's see something. Jesus got to the coast of Hierapolis and asked a question. He said, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some said thou art John the Baptist." How can you say he was John the Baptist? John the Baptist just died like few verses away. You are John the Baptist. They saw John the Baptist. They saw Jesus. They say you are John the Baptist. Some say Elias, which is. Some say Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And they said, "Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the Living God." Mark that. So,
Jesus' question, Peter's response, and what Jesus said afterwards, opens up for us what we'll be studying in this series.
What did Jesus say? "Who do men say that I am?" Peter said, "Thou art the Christos. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the Living God." Look at Jesus' reference. "Say, blessed art thou, Simon Bajona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Now when he says flesh and blood have not revealed this to thee, it means this is not sense knowledge. "Say, but my Father." So you know what my Father which is in heaven is telling you, what the response of Peter was by revelation. Was by revelation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it is the response of Peter, you can put it, is the explanation of scriptures put together. Hope you're following me. Is the explanation of scriptures put together. Glory to God. Look at John 1:45. John 1, verse 45. Show you something now. It says, "Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, We found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophet did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Did you see that? Did you see that? It says, "Whom the prophet did write about." So showing you Christ is the fulfillment of scriptures when read together. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So that means when he says thou art the Christ, he's talking, or what he's giving is the explanation of Genesis to Malachi. That's what he's saying. Oh, hope you're following me. That is the explanation of Genesis to Malachi. Hallelujah. So, I have something in my notes. When Jesus says flesh and blood hasn't revealed it to you, but my Father, it implies the systematic way or the systematic study of theology will lead to a Christological study of scriptures. Hallelujah. Little Christology of scripture.
That when I study scripture systematically, it will point me to the Christ. To Christ.
And I have said this over and again to us, that God can only be known in the Christos. In Christ study. That is how you know God. Hallelujah. But I told us that during our new series on revelation of God, that we understood this part. But what we want to do is to see God in the light of the Old Testament books. As though there is no four gospels and not. Let's get to see how the epistles arrive at their conclusion. Right? And then we'll now read it in the epistles, not using the epistles to defend God. No. But what to see God in the light of the Old Testament book. You know, some people think God repented. God used to be one harsh God, and then you just see thunder. So some people now start using thunder fire you. That God used to send thunder, not true. Amen. Don't say that.
Amen. When I was small, they used to tell us, if God points you, you will die. So people are calling and young pointers. They say, don't point me. Stop pointing me.
They say, okay, I will not point you, but God points you. That's nonsense.
So when I say, but in the New Testament, God now got born again.
No. Hallelujah. God is the same. Hallelujah. But look at what Jesus said. When Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," Jesus' response says, what Jesus said immediately is very germane. In verses 18, Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said, "I said to thee, thou art Peter." Did you see that? Thou art Peter. That means, in the revelation of Christ, is the revelation of the believer. I put it like this. In the revelation of Christ, or you put in the revelation of scriptures, you find the revelation of the believer. Hope you're following me. In the revelation of Christ, which is the explanation, well detailed explanation of scriptures, you will find the revelation of the believer. Hallelujah. Now the question is, why do we need to know who we are? When you see two people talking, and one person is saying, "Do you know who I am?" I say, "Do you know who I am?" And I say, "Who are you? Why do you think he yells those, 'Do you know who I am? Who are you?'" Along the line, one person needs to solve another person's identity crisis. Hope you know that. Just know that when everyone says, "Do you know who you are talking to?" there's an identity mismatch. Is that the person that is saying, "Do you know who I am?" wants the other person to have to know his identity. Amen? Amen? Do you know who I am? Who are you? Do you know who me I am to? And who are you? I am that I am. That is this slap. No. Amen. But whenever you hear that question of who are you, in the background is an identity crisis. One person wants an identity to be revealed to another.
Right. Hallelujah. So, why do we need to know who we are?
It also goes to us as believers. Because the lack of knowledge from the scriptures of who a believer is creates an identity crisis.
We have believers who have identity crisis. Not the writing on their forehead, "I have identity crisis." You know? By their actions, you know this is an identity crisis. By the things they do, this is an identity crisis. And then how they relate in the world, this is an identity crisis. Hallelujah. Imagine you see a child, maybe at age 5, the child now start doing woo, 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 woo. You say that, "Come on, come on." What? Right? You are not a dog. You are not a, goat. You are a human being. What? Right? What? Right? So that means the point the child begins to do woo, 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 the child is having an identity crisis. Amen? So what will you say? "Come on, stand up, child." Because you are trying to correct the child that this is not how you're supposed to behave. Right? Right? Sometimes you know a believer is having an identity crisis by how they conduct themselves in the world. How they conduct themselves. You know, this is an identity issue. Hallelujah. And many times, it's because of lack of proper explanation of scriptures. They find themselves in such crisis. Hallelujah. And in this series, in these teachings, 2-3 weeks from now, we'll be able to look at it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And see who the believer is. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If we look at the epistles written to the churches, you won't know the epistles very well. Many times, the writers of the epistles, majorly Paul, was addressing issues within the local church.
issues.
And if you look at those issues critically, because of the way they've conducted themselves, Paul mostly would first of all start by dealing with identity. Why? Because the major reason why a believer will act like an unbeliever, you know, a believer can act like an unbeliever, is identity crisis. Look at the church at Corinth, the church at Galatia, the Galatian church. You have to ask them, who has bewitched you? Who fully, who has bewitched you? Before whom eyes Christ was clearly portrayed. He says, haven't started in the spirit, have you not been made perfect in the flesh? Did you see that? He's coming for that identity. Before then, he began to tell them, hallelujah, that we are sons because we receive the Spirit of God. We receive the Spirit of His Son. It makes them say, wow! There's an identity crisis somewhere. Hallelujah. They haven't begun in the Spirit. Amen. Okay, for the church at Corinth, we know Corinth. Amen. There's one church we've thought always is from Corinth. Hallelujah. Look at the Corinth church. What did Paul say to them? You are washed. You are sanctified. Amen. Look at how he started. He told them first. Their first contact with the Spirit of God was when the gospel was preached. He tells them that again, that what they've received is not the spirit of the world, but the spirit that is from God. Listen to that. Identity. Who are you? Why do you behave the way you behave? How should we function in the earth? How should we behave in this world? Hallelujah. Who are you? It's a question you're going to ask yourself. Who are you? Hallelujah. Let me begin to drive some things home. Hallelujah. So it's important that the believer knows who he or she is. It's important. You must know that. If you go, remember I told you it is in the revelation of Christ that the believer have his revelation. Well, put in the revelation of God, you find you discover yourself. Hallelujah. Look at God. Why is it that in scriptures? We're going to look at this next week. Why is that in scriptures? God will always introduce himself. What? Which scripture is a pattern you find from God? He always introduces himself. You see that in their world they had different gods. They had a god for thunder, god for iron. This one says Shogun. Shogun was not born then. God for iron. I was sleeping in his mother's womb. They had gods for rain, gods for bed. In Egypt they had all those gods, and yet God would get to Jacob, he said, although I did, let me show you a few.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Quickly, rush to Genesis. Genesis 26. Genesis 26. Amen. There was famine. Look at verse 3. So Jordan the land up and said, I will be with thee. Amen. And I will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed will I give all these countries. And I will perform the oath I swore unto Abraham thy father. Amen. And in verse 4, he went to say the same thing he said to Abraham to him. Verse 5. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandment, my statutes and my law. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar. Did you see that? Quickly rush to chapter 28. Verse 13. It says, and behold, the Lord stood above me. This is the vision of Jacob. If you want the vision of Jacob, the vision of Joseph, I've taught you this before. The vision of Jacob. If you watch the vision of Jacob, or put it the dream of Jacob, the dream of Joseph, the dream or the vision of Abraham and that of Adam, they are the same. They are the same. I need to listen to that message as I get as I have taught us. Hallelujah. Recognizing the voice of God. Go and get that teaching. I know I've taught you that. Amen. Listen to it again. They are the same. That when Joseph was telling the father or the brothers about his dream, you think his dream of him being wealthy? No, we're not him going to, his brothers are going to bow to him. How many of his brothers bow to him? Genesis, it was not about bowing to him. It was the same dream of Abraham, Jacob, and Adam. The same. Amen. Go to God. But let's see something. It says, and he dreamed yet another dream, a ladder set upon the earth, and on top of it reached heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac, and the land where thou liest, to thee I will give it, and to thy seed. Did you see that? He introduced himself. Amen. Exodus chapter 3. Moses in the bush. Don't call it Moses in the burning bush. Anyone. Verses 13. Exodus 3:13. It says, and Moses said, God, and he said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and said to them, the God of your fathers. Is that? No, look at verse 6 first. Verse 6. When Moses saw the burning bush, the bush was not burning. He saw what was burning and that the bush did not burn. Say, I will turn again to see what this thing is. And when he got there, verse 5, and he said, draw not near, put off thy shoes, off from thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is the holy ground, is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Did you see that? I am the God of your fathers. God introduces himself. I hope you are saying that. In verses 13, and God said, okay, Moses said, when I call the children of Israel, I said to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they say, what is his name? What shall I say? Verse 14, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. You see that? I am has sent me unto you. Hope you are following that. We'll read more of this by tomorrow. By next week. Hallelujah. You'll find that God always introduced himself. Look at verses 3 of Exodus 6. I'll start from verse 2. He said, and God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. Did you see that? There's that introduction. I am the Lord. That you know who's talking. That you don't have identity crisis here. I am the Lord. Said, I appeared to Abraham
I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by my name God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah, Yahweh, was I not known to them. Did you see that? Did you see that? So God introduces himself. God does what? Introduces himself. Hallelujah. God always does. And why does he always do it? He always does that, especially in the midst of other gods. In the midst of other beings that are worshipped, you say, I am the Lord. Number one, that is an offset.
Amen.
I am the Lord.
Glory to God.
I am Yahweh.
He calls himself.
So, and you find the same pattern in Jesus. Jesus will tell his disciples, I am.
Is it true?
The same word for the children of Israel, I am. Ego am I. You see that? You find the same pattern. That is God. And he does that all the time so that he will help man identify with him. Hallelujah. So that you don't have a conflict of worship of God. So God will introduce himself.
You don't have to, you can't serve God outside your knowledge of him. You can't worship him outside your knowledge of him. So he introduces himself. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. They know bad, but say, I am the Lord. They know other God, say, I am the Lord. So we are following me. I am the Lord. I am Yahweh. They help man identify and know. Hallelujah.
We help worship him. We aid man that man will worship him well. Hallelujah. In Genesis 1:2, God calls himself light. Genesis 1:3, sorry. Darkness was upon the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God brooded over the surface of the water, and God said, let there be light. Now I told you, I've taught you. You don't say let there be light. That was not how he said it's good. That word let there be light has the word I am all. I am is when you have the word I am. Do you get me? So God is saying I am light. It's not let there be light. No. It's I am light. So God always introduces himself. In darkness, he calls himself light. Did you see that? For clarity. Amen. For distinction. Clarity for the decision, I am light. If not, people will say, darkness and light, and you say, it's God that did it. In the midst of darkness, chaos, God said, no, I'm not in the chaos. I am light. Hallelujah. In the midst of darkness, he said, no, I am not in darkness. I am light. Hallelujah. So that you don't have conflict in your mind. Met someone yesterday, say, God, that means God was the one that created evil, he put it that evil, sin and righteousness. I was just laughing. Amen. That's stupidity. But God says, I am light. Hope you're following me. God says, I am light.
That is what God has said. That means, when you know that God says he's light in Genesis, and you get into Exodus, you see killing, you see thunder, and people just strike and die, and Sodom was destroyed. And I say, did God destroy Sodom? God said, I am light. Did you see that? I am light. So you won't have conflict. I am light. So where you don't find light, it can be God. Whoever knows you, it can be God. I am light. Glory to God. Hope you are following me. And Jesus came, or Jesus coming in John 8:12, it says, I am the light of the world. Saying, picking the same word from Genesis 1:3 and saying, he is God. God will be found in light. You learned something today? Are you sure you learned something today? Okay, let's share.